Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a friend.
Today we are going to start the book of Ephesians, and we're going to study Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1 to 6. Let's read Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1 to 6. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved. Now there are some great spiritual truths in this passage of Scripture, and also there is a great opening in this passage of Scripture here for a misunderstanding about salvation. This doctrine of predestination is discussed in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1 to 6. So we want to read carefully what we're studying here so that we understand what God said and not what men have then taken to make out of the Word of God to make a doctrine of their own. Okay, now in verse 1, Paul writes to the primarily to Christians that are at Ephesus. He says, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Now notice he also says that he's an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. And recently when we studied the book of Galatians, we dealt with his apostleship, and we also dealt with the fact that he was selected by God himself to be an apostle, and that there's no real apostolic succession today. This is something that was given following the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ for a short period of time. So Paul writes as an apostle of Jesus Christ to the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. This is a letter to people who are already saved. That's very important when you study this letter and consider the things that Paul says. He's not writing to people who are lost and telling them how to get saved, although that comes up from time to time in the letter. He is primarily writing to those who are already saved. And he says in verse 2, grace be to you and peace. Well, he offers them grace and peace, which comes from God and which comes from the Lord Jesus Christ, as he does typically in the other letters that he writes. That's a typical thing. You say, dear John or dear Judy or whatever when you're writing. And that's your, what do you call that thing? Anyway, greeting. Well, this is his greeting. He's offering them grace and peace, which come from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace and peace, then, are supernatural things. And in the case of grace, it is supernatural strength from God in areas of our weakness. For instance, when God gives you grace to get saved, he is giving you the supernatural grace and strength of God to get to heaven, which is something you could not do, you were too weak to do, in your flesh. And so no amount of righteousness that you churned up on your own would get you by God's judgment at all. God had to give you his riches at Christ's expense, somebody said. All right, in verse 3 then he says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Notice, in heavenly places, in Christ. You see, these spiritual blessings are not available to somebody who is not already in a heavenly place in Christ. Those two little words, in, are extremely important letters. I-N, in. You know what? If I say to you, are you in the house? If you're not in the house, then you are O-U-T. You are out of the house. That's very, very important, because that little word defines your position. When he says, "Hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ," if you're not in heavenly places and if you're not in Christ, you don't get the spiritual blessings that he's talking about here in Ephesians chapter 1. Now notice what he's dealing with when he talks about this again in Ephesians chapter 2. Let's jump ahead a little bit and get the application here. In Ephesians chapter 2, look at verse 5. "Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved." Okay, so here's a saved person. Now watch it. "And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." Now you see the same wording there, in heavenly places, in Christ Jesus. That's just like what he says here in verse 3 of chapter 1. Notice, he didn't say, "and will raise us up together." He says, "and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." Doctrinally, right now, this very moment, although you can hear my voice and I am physically seated in my office preaching this message, doctrinally, in God's eyes, I am no longer confined to this body. This body in God's eyes is dead. I am crucified with Christ. Furthermore, my soul has been joined by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ through what the Bible calls a baptism, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, or the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So I have been baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ, and therefore I am in Christ Jesus, and I am therefore in heavenly places. Where is Jesus Christ right now? His body, the one that physically walked on the earth, is seated at the right hand of God the Father in heaven. So when Christ saved me, the Holy Spirit baptized me into his body and made me a member of his flesh and of his bones, according to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 30. Look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 30. "We are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones." Verse 32, "This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church." So the Holy Spirit, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, we are all baptized by one Spirit into one body. "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body." So I've been baptized by the Holy Spirit into that body, and while I am physically in the flesh, seated in this chair, spiritually, I have already in heavenly places, in Christ Jesus, in the body, in his flesh, in his bones. "This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church." So when he says here in verse 3, "He who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ," these are not blessings that I am waiting to receive when I get there. These are blessings that I can have now, because I am in Christ. You see how very, very, very important the little word in is? Now notice, we're going to deal with those spiritual blessings in this message, but we are going to go ahead and deal with verses 4, 5, and 6 first, and then we're going to come back and look at the types of spiritual blessings that we have right now. And the reason we want to look at verses 4, 5, and 6 is because verses 4, 5, and 6 establish the basis upon which I can have those spiritual blessings now. Okay? Look at verse 4. "According as he hath chosen us in him," and so forth and so on. What does "according as" mean? Well, according as means just as or proportionately as. So he's going to deal with three other blessings that we have in verses 4, 5, and 6. And according as we have these three things, we have these other spiritual blessings now. Okay, first of all, verse 4, according as what? Well, according as three things that he chose before the foundation of the world for those who are in him. The context then is not predestination to salvation, but the context is, if we are in him, then these three things of verses 4, 5, and 6 are true because of something that he decided before the foundation of the world. Let's read it again with that in mind. "According as he hath chosen us," what? "In him." If you're not in him, then these things are not true of you. but as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. See, some people put a period right after world and make you believe that the choice of whether you would be in Christ or out of Christ was made before the foundation of the world. God certainly knew whether you would be in Christ or out of Christ before the foundation of the world, but he didn't make the choice for you. The choice is in him before the foundation of the world, that what? Number one, we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Number two, having predestinated us, what, in him, if you're in him, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. It was his will that if you were in him, you would be adopted as a child. That is your predestination if you are in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And then the third thing is, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us, what, accepted in the beloved. That was the third thing he gave you. So one is holy and without blame before him in love. Number two is adoption of children. And number three is accepted in the beloved. Those are the spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ that we have to look forward to, upon which the spiritual blessings that we receive now are currently based. All right, well, why would he say then that it was that he chose us in him to be holy and without blame before him in love? Well, because we're not holy and without blame before him now. Are you holy and without blame? Well, you know, we're sanctified. We've been saved and washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, but we still live in this flesh. And you know something? There's going to be a day when you and I stand before the Lord Jesus Christ in the flesh, in a new body, a body given to us by the Lord Jesus Christ. And in that body, we are going to be perfect, whole, holy, and without blame. Let's look at a few verses to see that. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23 is an example. The very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved, what? Blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So that was a prayer of Paul that God would not have blame against you, and that it would be preserved in the spirit and in your soul and in your body. Okay? Look again at Ephesians chapter 5. There's a good example. Ephesians chapter 5. And look at verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Well, right now, God will present to himself the glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it'll be holy and without blemish. You know how that's going to happen? Well, what's going to happen is at the rapture, our bodies are going to come out of the ground, or change if he were to come now and you're not dead. We're going to go to heaven. We're going to go through the judgment seat of Christ. And at the judgment seat of Christ, every work that was done in the body that doesn't survive the fire is going to burn up. And what is left is going to be a glorified body represented together with the rest of the saints as the glorious church. There'll be no spot, there'll be no wrinkle, there'll be no blemish. It'll be totally holy. And that is a choice that God made before the foundation of the world for everyone that is in heavenly places and in Christ and in him. Holy without blame him, before him in love. All right, now, because he's going to present us as his bride for the marriage. There's the love relationship before him. All right, now look at the next thing in verse 5. Not only was that decision made before the foundation of the world, but the other decision that was made before the foundation of the world is that if you are in heavenly places in Christ, you would receive the adoption of children. Having predestinated us, verse 5 says, under the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Well, if I'm going to Houston in the morning and you get in my car, you know what your predestination is? It's Houston, Texas. And you know whose will that is? It's my will, because it's my car and I'm going there. However, it's your choice if you decide to get in the car. And God made the choice before the foundation of the world that if you were in Christ, you would be adopted as His child. That's the way it is. Why is that? Because the reason is because when you first started out here, you weren't in God's family. That's the misconception of bad Bible teaching today, that we're all God's children. No, you're Adam's children and Eve's children by a creative act of God that brought Adam and Eve to this earth. But spiritually speaking, if you have not been saved by the Lord Jesus Christ, then you are in the devil's family, not in God's family. The Pharisees, who were the squeakiest clean of Christ's day, as far as the outward appearance was concerned, God said to them, "You are of your father, the devil." That's a very nice way to speak to the religious leaders of Christ's day. Listen, look over here in 1 John, that's the epistle of John, 1 John chapter 3. Look over here in verse 10. You see, there's only two spiritual families in the earth, God's family or the devil's family, and if you're not born again, you're not in God's family. Look at verse 8, "He that committeth sin is of the devil." Okay, that pretty well sews it up, because you're a sinner and so am I. Verse 10, "In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil." See, you've only got two families. Well, when you come to Christ, you go into God's family. Look at verse 1, 1 John chapter 3. "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called," what? "The sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be." Why? Because the adoption is not complete yet. "But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." In other words, the adoption process has started. We are certainly in his family, but we do not yet have the physical characteristics of the likeness of Jesus Christ. But we will have those when our bodies are redeemed. Romans chapter 8, verse 23 says, let's see, "We ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption." Well, I'm already adopted into the body, into the body of Christ, but as his child, but I'm waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. I'm waiting for this body to change, or to die and then be brought up as a glorious body. You see, in verse 17 of Romans chapter 8, "If children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together." So I'm going to get a glorified body because I'm a child of God. Verse 18, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." So right now, until the adoption is complete, we're suffering. But after we suffer, our bodies change, and then we have a glorified body, and that's when the glory is going to be revealed in us. That decision was made before the foundation of the world. Everybody in Christ would be adopted into the children of God, would get a glorified body, and would be with Christ forever. What is the third thing? It's in verse 6. "To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved." Accepted in the beloved. Look, as Adam's child, I wasn't accepted in the beloved. You see, Adam was rejected. When he sinned, God sent him out of the Garden of Eden, put a cherubim there with a flaming sword to keep the way of the garden so he couldn't go back in there. So Adam was not accepted following sin. And since I came in Adam's likeness, I was not accepted because I was in my sin. But when I trusted Christ as my Savior, I was put into Christ. When you accepted Christ as your Savior, you were put into Christ. And therefore, after that, to the praise of His grace and to the glory of His grace, you were made accepted in the Beloved. You didn't find yourself that way when you were born, but you found yourself that way when you were born again. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18 says, "All things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation." So when we came to Christ, he reconciled us to God, and therefore God accepted us because he accepted Jesus Christ. Listen, Abel was accepted because he gave a sacrifice of a lamb. Cain was rejected because he gave a sacrifice of his own labor. Now we are accepted because we came by the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is a decision that God made before the foundation of the world. Now, based on these three things, he gives us the spiritual blessings of verse 3 that come to us because we are in Christ. So just a brief review then. Paul starts out the letter and he says, we'll give you some grace and some peace. You got some spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ based upon or proportionately as three things. Number one, that you are going to appear before him in love, holy and without blame. Number two, that you will be adopted as children with a full redemption of your body. And number three, that you are accepted in the beloved. Now those are three tremendous things, none of which you could have apart from the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. You would have none of these apart from the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, what are the spiritual blessings? Well, there are numbers of them. I will give you several. The first spiritual blessing of verse 3 that you have as a result of being in Christ, that is brought on you proportionately as God will give you these other three things that have been given, are first of all, assurance of your salvation. Assurance of your salvation. We have passed from death unto life. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You see, when you came to Christ, he put you, the Holy Spirit put you into the body of Christ. John said, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. There is assurance of salvation. You know, I've got this software on my computer now where I can dictate to the computer and it'll type it. You know, they've got it via voice and Dragon, naturally speaking, and varieties of products like that out there. I've got that. You know, I don't think that I talk with a country accent. I really don't. I think, you know, maybe a little bit of South Texas shows through in my talking, but I was talking the other day and did a little piece on the assurance of salvation, and when I said the word assurance, you know what my computer typed? A-sure-rinse. Three words, A-sure-rinse. And I looked at that thing and I thought to myself, you know something, Welder? You talking more country than you thought you did. The computer didn't even recognize the word assurance. I tried it several times. I had to correct the thing. Now it'll type assurance, but it looked at it like a whole lot different thing than what I said. Anyway, assurance of salvation, that's one of the spiritual blessings you get. Here's another one, access to the throne of grace. That is, you and I can go to God in prayer, and God will answer those prayers. He says in Hebrews 4:16, therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. He didn't say mealy mouth or all crawling around on the floor. I realize we humble ourselves before God, we rever God, we fear God, but he said, therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that you may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And those are two of the other spiritual blessings you get, grace and mercy. Grace, what is grace? Well, Paul had a thorn in the flesh. God wouldn't take it away from him, but it was a minister of Satan to buffet him so he wouldn't be lifted up in pride. And God said, my grace is sufficient for thee. And Paul said, boy, this is great. Then in necessities, in persecutions, in infirmities, in distresses, in reproaches, I'm going to glory in these bad things because when I have these bad things, God's grace comes upon me and God's grace is sufficient for all of these things. What more do I need? When I'm weak, I'm strong. That's what grace is. And mercy. God knows we need mercy. Every time you turn around, there's another sin that's been committed. We come to the mercy of God and God shows that mercy on us. I mean, don't get the idea that you and I are going to get away with presumptuous stuff. God's going to finally take it out on us. But we get that mercy, and if it wasn't for God's mercy, we wouldn't be here now. And that's a spiritual blessing of being in heavenly places in Christ. I'll tell you another spiritual blessing you and I get is love for his word. He that loveth me will keep my words, Jesus Christ said. And I'll tell you what, you know something? That Bible was not a book that I loved. As a matter of fact, I couldn't tolerate reading it until I got saved. And after I got saved, God instilled in my heart a love for that word. I've read through that thing lots of times, and I'm back. Just finished Exodus this morning, already in the book of just finished Genesis this morning, already back in the book of Exodus. Just love it. Just love for his word. I'll tell you something else he gives you, which is a spiritual blessing. An understanding of his word. That comes to you by the Holy Spirit, not by modern translators that are coming up with modern perversions. Just go to the Bible and pray, and God will give you understanding when He wants you to know what's in there. And if He doesn't give you the understanding, you're not going to understand it. And that comes only by the Holy Spirit. I'll tell you another spiritual blessing is comfort of the Holy Spirit. Haven't you gone through a death in the family or a tragic situation or something else where the Holy Spirit of God has given you a great deal of comfort? Or prayer, where you're praying for somebody to get saved and the Holy Spirit finally gives you comfort and you have this peace that that God's going to take care of it? That is a spiritual blessing of being in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I'll tell you something else He gave you that's a spiritual blessing. Promises from the Bible that all of your provisions will be met and everything else. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. How about this one? My God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Wow, what a great spiritual blessing that is. Here's another spiritual blessing. Chastening. You know, when you get whipped by the Lord, none of us is perfect. And you know what? We get to a place where we finally thank God for the scourgings of His sons that He loves, because those are the things that make us more like Christ and draw us closer to Him. I'll give you another spiritual blessing. Peace. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus our Lord. You need that peace, and so do I. You can't get it here in the world. You can't get it from dope. You can't get it from leisure and luxury. And then He'll give you rest. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So look at those great spiritual, and that's just a few. You could name off another 20 or 30 or 40 spiritual blessings that you get by virtue of the fact that you're in heavenly places in Christ. Assurance of your salvation, access to the throne, grace, mercy, love for His Word, an understanding of His Word, comfort from the Holy Spirit, provisions, promises, the chastening of God, peace, and rest. It's just tremendous what God has done. And that's all based upon the fact that we are accepted in the Beloved, we have been adopted as His children, and we will one day stand before Him holy and without blame in love. Don't you just love it? Don't you just love what God has recorded for us here in this great book?
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my, the number 3, bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Ranmorgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.